About $3,000 for the projector, don't worry. if all the stuff on the screen looks like melted chocolate, it is melted chocolate. Okay. Right, I need to apologise. You're not going to get anything off the screen from me. That's a bit bad, isn't it? So you're going to have to listen. And this is exciting because I don't know where I'm going today. I wasn't going to preach first. Everything's changed. How exciting is that? For you, not for me, but here we are. So let's pray. Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that you would come with your Holy Spirit and you would anoint, Father, this word. Lord, you would bring your life. You would guide us. Lord, you would have your way in this place today, Lord. And Father, we're expectant of you to do things today. And Lord, none of us want to get in the way of that, Father. So just pray that this would be all of you and that you would be honoured and glorified. And Lord, you might bless us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, I did a talk entitled Kill the Cockerel. And we talked, Kill the Rooster even. And we talked about the fact that we were in a battle. Do you remember that? Right at the beginning, I set forth the point that we're in a battle against principalities and powers. And that we have got a very, very active enemy who seeks to destroy us, seeks to destroy everything about us, wants to separate us from God in any way he can. He's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a deceiver. He does not play by fair rules, ever. And that's the truth of it. There's heavenly dimensions as well as the dimension that we often get locked into and see in our own mind. I did say that as children of God, we've been called out of the kingdom of darkness, we're in the kingdom of light, and that this isn't to be feared, Satan's not to be feared, but he is to be understood, our enemy's to be understood, so we can stand against him. And we don't want to be a people that are in defense positions, we want to be a people of God that is taking back ground that the enemy has stolen from people and from us. So we're in an attacking position. God has won the victory, but there is skirmishes, fights that we're all involved with often. And so we need to understand some things. So in Daniel 10, there's a vision Daniel has. And it's to do with a revelation that he receives concerning a great war. And Daniel prays and fasts for 3 weeks. It says, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no Maltesers, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And then this mighty angel, we hear later that it's Gabriel, comes and appears to him, and he's just, I mean, the description is pretty fearsome. Huge, huge angel, immensely powerful kind of warrior. And he says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. A lot more information. This is in Daniel 10, I believe. A lot more information that I'm skipping. Verse 20. Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. Okay? Wacky scripture, isn't it? In Daniel. This prince of Persia is talking about satanic princes. It's talking about heavenly realms. It's not talking about an earthly thing. It's talking about fights in the heavenly realms. And it's just to wake us up to say that even though we're not Daniels, there is another reality. There is a spiritual reality which is very, very, very true. And there is warfare being waged right now, and it affects all of us. We are in warfare, whether you like it or not. If you declare that Jesus is Lord and you've asked him to be your Savior, you are in warfare. And yes, God is all-powerful. There's no question about that. Okay, none. But these mighty angels, Gabriel and Michael, huge angelic beings, are detained for 21 days in a spiritual battle. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Doesn't it open our eyes up to kind of a bit of a frightening reality, really? So Daniel starts to fast and to pray, and he's really serious about it, isn't it? I mean, he's really serious. 21 days, he is fasting, praying about this stuff. And the angel says, from the first day, Paul talked about this last week, from the first day you sought to gain understanding, God answered you. Day one, God sends his answer. Day one. Yet it took 21 days to reach Daniel. It's amazing stuff. Spiritual forces, the Satan, the demonic realms, want to limit your walk with God. They want to blind you. They want to withhold things from you. They wanted to withhold that message from God getting to Daniel. It's very clear. They want to destroy all that God wants to accomplish in you and through you. But if God is on our side, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Jesus has won the victory, as I say. We're on the attack, not in the defense. See, I just hate Satan right now. I mean, I always do. But right now, I really hate what I see him doing in people's lives. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you're aware of stuff. But don't you just hate it when you can see him worming his way in through lies and deceit and messing with people's lives? I hate it. It makes me really angry. And it should make us all really angry in God, because it's not on. And he spoils so much, and we need to stand firmly against him in every area, in our lives, in other people's lives. We have got to stand against him. We have got to, in the authority of Jesus, send him packing.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? You might be aware of the enemy's plan in your life. You might be very, very aware. Some of us will be sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, I know this is true, but... wow, you know, I haven't heard this kind of stuff for a while. It doesn't really affect me right now. Great, good for you. Don't be deceived, though. There is a battle still on over you, guaranteed. But some of you are right in the thick of it, and you know full well what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, my goodness, it's just written all over me right now. I'm in a place where I'm really struggling, and I know there is a battle going on for me, for my mind, for my thinking, for my situations, for my health, for my finance. I know there's a battle going on right now. And you might be in the situation where you think, do you know, if I'm really honest, I think Satan's won. I think he's got me. I think the game's over. I'm tired. I've lost my faith. I don't know what to do. I've been praying. It's just not getting there. I feel isolated, vulnerable. The stuff's not cutting, you know. You might be there, and I want to just encourage you. Because the scriptures are full of stories of God twisting things on its head, of God taking what Satan wants to do and turning it on its head and bringing blessing where Satan wanted your destruction, bringing freedom where he wanted you to be captive. Amen?
Amen.
It's full of it. Now, I know that it doesn't mean that everything works out well for everyone. You know, look at the disciples. The vast majority are killed for their faith, but they did not die in defeat. They died in victory. It wasn't God's plan to save them physically, but he changed the world through them. So it's not about our comfort, but it is about victory. Amen? Psalms 30 says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. We can know victory. God wants victory over your life, in your life, over the schemes of Satan. God can turn the most well-schemed plans of the enemy into blessings and victory over your life. I wonder if you believe that, really believe that, because we need to. It's important that we need, you know, that we believe this stuff. Because when you believe it, you stand firm, you stand up, you start attacking. When you don't believe it, you're vulnerable, you sit down, you give up. And that is not what God has called us to be. So, I want to talk about mountain movers. And I'm going to take this out of context. But in Matthew 17, several Gospels, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. We have got mountains. There are mountains in our lives. There are mountains in faith that we're seeing, that we're approaching. There are mountains that we've got to face as a church. And we can say to mountains, be moved in Jesus' name. Move out of the way. We can clear the ground, spiritually speaking. We have authority in Jesus. We are on the victory side. He is our commander-in-chief. And who can stand against him? Who can stand against our king? Can anyone stand against him?
No.
Principalities and powers?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So it says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for me? No, for you. God says, Jesus says, nothing will be impossible for you. For you, me. He's not saying nothing will be impossible for me because I'm God. He's saying you can do it. With my authority, you can do it. You can see it happen. You can see breakthroughs. You can take my message forward. You can demolish Satan's strongholds in my name, in my authority, because I'm sending you out to do that. You might have noticed I'm a bit riled. I'm sorry. It's not at you. I promise you. It's at Satan. So, where do we go? Skip all of that. Right, read Esther. Okay? So we're going to look at some... Yeah, later. We're going to look at some bits I might pick up on it, I don't know. So Daniel 6, Daniel in the lion's den. All right? So I'll don't follow me. You'll get completely lost. I'm just going to go for it. So jealousy of Daniel, okay? He's an amazing guy. He's righteous. He's upright. He's in a good position. He's been honored. He's an amazing man. And other people, you know, administrators and stuff, the others, they're jealous of him. And they want his destruction. It's not them, it's Satan. Satan wants his destruction, okay? Enemy always wants our destruction. So they scheme, they set up this plan because they know that they can't get him on anything other than his faith. So they set up this plan and they go to Darius and they say, "Oh, King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, seraphs, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den." Okay, this is the enemy. This is not man. This is principalities and powers wanting to kill Daniel. Okay? And it's a cunning scheme. So the king issued a decree and put it into writing that it cannot be altered. Do you know Esther again? The decree of the king cannot be revoked. The king can't revoke it. When he seals it with his ring, it is just law above all laws. All right. The stories of Esther and this story are very parallel in many respects. He issues a decree. It's done. He can't revoke it. Darius the king cannot revoke it. And he's saying, yes, anyone that worships any other god, anyone that bows down to worship anything other than me for the next 30 days is going to be killed. Is going to go into the lion's den. And he's issued it. Interestingly, it's all about worship, isn't it? Satan hates God being worshipped. He hates God being glorified. So he wants to set up other things to worship. He wants to be worshipped himself. Yes, so he wants to take our focus off of worshipping God through whatever means he can and on to worshipping other things, which again is exactly the same with Esther. So Darius puts this in writing. This is huge. This is a huge problem for Daniel. I mean, I don't know if you can put yourself in his shoes. But what does he do? He prays three times a day. He kneels down on the ground three times a day with the windows open overlooking Jerusalem and he prays for God's blessing to come upon Jerusalem. He prays for his people. Yeah? He prays God into situations. It's very open. Three times a day. He knows as soon as he falls to his knees that these guys are watching him and they're going to be running to the king straight away to get him killed. He knows that. There's no question there. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows his time is over. He knows he's going to die. It might sound a bit funny, but he knows he's going to die because the king has decreed that edict and nothing can change that. So the choice he's got is, does he change so he doesn't worship God? Does he go with this or does he stand against it? You know, does he let the enemy just roll over him or does he fight? No matter what the cost, does he fight? You know, what mountains are you facing? What is challenging you worshipping God? What is the enemy trying to do in your life? Is it hopeless? Are you at the end? Is it like the edict's been made, I'm sunk. I can't get out of this one, you know. I can come to church, I can sit there, you know, I can put, you know, not even do that, but I'll sing along. You know, but I'm crushed. My spirit is crushed. You know, through sin, through circumstance, through whatever, I'm crushed. There is no hope for me. The mountain is too big, it's immovable. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home up to his upper room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before, three times a day, on his knees and prayed, knowing full well the consequences. So he's caught, he's trapped. The king loves Daniel. He's really distressed. The king wants to do anything he can to save Daniel. And he can't do anything. He tries all day, can't do it. So Daniel's taken and chucked into the lion's den. Yeah, are you thinking, there's the lion's den and I'm getting dragged there and it's all over? So Daniel's in the lion's den. And the end of the story, the king returned to his palace, spent the night, get this, without eating and without entertainment being brought to him. The king fasts. I don't know if he realized he's fasting or if he just couldn't eat, but he's fasting. Isn't that interesting? The king is fasting. Esther, there's fasts all over the place. Daniel, when he received that vision, he fasts and he seeks God and he prays. And the king is doing it because he couldn't sleep. And at first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Where he came near to the lion's den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed. Men who had falsely accused him and their families, everyone, chucked into the lion's den. They didn't even touch the floor. I don't know, have you seen lions? That sounds a stupid question. I was in Africa, right? And I'm in a matatu, like a minibus, and a lioness came walking past the matatu. Okay, I've got windows, right? We're watching lions, but she just snuck up the side of the matatu. And I've seen lots of lions. You've been to the zoos, you've seen lions, yeah? I mean, yeah, the window was up type thing. I was all right. Came past, and honestly, she was like level with my window in the minibus, in this matatu thing. They're massive. They're absolutely massive. They're just massive. I'm like, oh my life. I grabbed the door. They're huge. They didn't harm Daniel. But the people that had schemed against him, the enemy, was torn to shreds before he hit the floor. God turned it round, totally upside down, totally destroyed it, destroyed the enemy. There's another decree issued by Darius. And it says, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. Amen. 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 I didn't even know what time I started. I'm all right. I haven't got a clue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're skipping all over the place. It's in Daniel again. Okay. Then a herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the pipes, and all the kinds of music, worship, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." A decree. Yeah, you have got to worship this image of King Nebuchadnezzar. How strange. Worship again. It's all about worship. Who gets the praise? Who gets the glory? The enemy wants to take it away from God. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Another mountainous situation. How do you get out of that? How do you do it? You can't get out of it. You know your time is up. You know it's all over. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, pretty big guy, pretty powerful. He's going to have no one refuse to worship the image of him. If you do not worship it, it's the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't worship. They don't fall down. Everyone else, on their knees, on their faces. Three guys standing up in the crowd. I mean, talk about put a target on your head. I mean, it's just like, this is it, chaps. We're in the furnace. You know, we are making a decision. I don't know how long they'd got. Obviously, this decree goes out. It would probably take months for it to go around, you know, around all the provinces and stuff. And there they are. And they're wrestling. I don't know. They're chatting to each other. They're praying. I'm sure they're fasting. They're saying, God, this is it. This is it. We want to honor you. Either we bow down and then our lives are spared, or we stay standing, we've had it. And they stay standing. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he's furious. I mean, he's as hot as his furnace. He's like livid with them. And so it repeats it again. If you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hands? What God will be able to rescue you from the enemy's hands? Our God can rescue you from the enemy's hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up, even if it costs us our lives. Esther, I've got to go before the king, but he hasn't invited me into his presence. If I stand in his presence, if I come into the doorway of his courts, if he doesn't lift up his golden scepter, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm like, his soldiers will kill me instantly unless he lifts that scepter up." And she says, "If I die, I die." She says to Mordecai, you know, if he doesn't, I'm going to be dead, but I'm prepared. I'm ready to stand up and to fight for my people, to stand up in the king's presence. And if I die, so be it. You know, somewhere in these fights, we need to be in a place where we're so dead to self that it's not about us. It's not about our rescue as such. It's about God's glory. It's about a bigger thing. Okay? And if God slay us, though he slay us, still will I praise him. Amen?
Amen.
Where am I? So, the furnace is heating 7 times hotter than usual. Soldiers tie them up, throw them into the furnace. It's so hot, the soldiers die because of the heat that comes flying out the top of the furnace. All the soldiers are dead, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the middle, with bound up like turkeys. They've got clothes on still, and they're just in the middle. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaps to his feet, I should think he did, in amazement, and asks his advisors, "Weren't the 3 men we tied up and threw in the fire?" They reported, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of gods."
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because it was the Son of God. Or angelic beings or whatever. Oh, man. So we face mountains in our own lives, and we face mountains in faith. I'm shaking like a leaf. In faith and for our church, for situations, for other people, you know, that we you know, God calls us to fight for, to stand with, to do battle over, yeah? So it's not just about us and our situations, it's about people you know that are ill. It's about people that you know that the situations, they're tied up. And we need to break the enemy's hold. We need to be strong. We need to know what we're doing. We need to walk in faith and in perseverance, in prayer and in fasting, in worship. And we need to break hold of the stuff that God is calling us to break hold. So this is just some, not many, but just some things that as I read these stories, the Esther, these two passages, other passages that came to me. You've got to realize that it's not your agenda. It's God's, you know, God's agenda. It's His timing. But we can change His timing. Now that's another preach. But He wants us, like Paul was saying last week, He wants us to wrestle with stuff. He wants us to grab our inheritance from heaven. He wants us to grab healing down for people. He wants us to grab provision from His throne room. So you need to know, what is His heart saying? What is God saying? You know, and pray according to his mindset, his thoughts. We've got Ivan sitting here. We've got other people sitting here. We've seen God, you know, people wrestle for healing and incredible miracles being performed. Amazing things. Amen. The end of cancer, for goodness sake. Now, that is an immovable mountain. They call it terminal. Is it terminal, Ivan?
Was.
Amen. It isn't now. It isn't now. So you've got to see that there's often bigger pictures, there's often God's timing, but we need to wrestle for it. And it's all about Him. You need to put your whole self in. Okay? What's the song? Whole self in, whole self out. You cannot, okay, you cannot stand. Thank you. You cannot stand with one foot either side. We'll do it at the end, all right? You all want to, I know. You cannot, if you want to walk in victory, you cannot have one foot in this side of the fence and one foot in this side of the fence. You've got to put yourself firmly, both feet planted on the ground of the rock that is Jesus Christ and of what God is saying. You cannot be double-minded. It will not work. You've got to fight double-mindedness. And if it's your mountain, then it's really difficult. It's really difficult because all the lies come flooding in, don't they? And they crush us. You need to stand against the lies. You need to say, what is truth? What is truth? What is the truth of God's word? Because I'm claiming it over my life. In faith, I'm claiming it over my life. Even if I don't see it in the circumstances, I'm claiming it over my life. Amen?
Amen.
Put both feet the right side of the fence. Raise the flag. Stick your head out of the top of the parapet. Paint the target on your face if you must. I'm not saying joke around with satanic stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying stand up and be counted for God. Yeah? Stand up. Make your decision firm. Who are you going to serve this day? As for me and my house, we are going to serve. We are going to worship. We are going to believe the things that God says, not the things that the enemy says over us and over our life. You need to be ready to lay down your life. Now, for many of us, that's not going to physically happen, which, praise God. But you need to lay down self. Esther, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, so many people, they got to the stage, said, even if you do not come through, yet I will praise you. If you slay me, yet I will praise you. If this mountain doesn't move, I'm still going to attack it. I'm still going to do all the stuff because that's what I'm called to do. Yeah? And if God takes me at the end of it, then to his glory may that be. I'm dying to self. This is not about me. This is about the honor of his name. This is about worship to the king who deserves it. This is about taking the ground of the enemy because he has stolen and robbed and destroyed too many lives and we're fed up with it. And we have got the power, the ability, the tools. We have got the God that can slay the enemy and see victories everywhere we go. So be ready to lay down your life. Ask God, is there anything within me that is stopping you from moving? Because strip it away. Whatever it is, if it's pride, if it's fear, whatever it is, take it. Because I want you to be Lord. I want my life is in your hands. Worship is the price. Satan wants worship. He hates us worshiping God. Haman wanted worship. Nebuchadnezzar wants worship. You know, the administrators didn't want Daniel worshiping God. So worship. And when you worship, you know, it's not about just singing songs. It's about praying and fasting. It's about a cost to it. It's about a perseverance. It's about the 21 days until you see it come down. It's about pray until something happens, push. It's a wrestle. It's not easy. This stuff isn't easy. No matter how disastrous your situation seems, or how big a mess you've got into, or how huge the mountain is in front of you, God's word screams, do not lose hope, but stand your ground and fight. God loves turning our disasters into blessings, our impossibilities into miracles, miraculous victories. Victory from failure. You may not know how, you may not know when, but in God nothing is impossible. In fact, it seems the scriptures kind of indicate that the bigger the problem, the more miraculous and amazing the solution. The deeper the sin, the bigger the grace. The bigger the problem, the bigger the miracle. The more glory goes to God. The weaker we are, the stronger He is. Amen. Read Daniel 9. It's again, it follows the first bit about him, kind of the 21 day stuff. But Daniel realizes from the scriptures that the captivity that his people have been into was coming to an end. He realizes from scripture, from prophecies in Jeremiah, I'll read it. So this is prophecy that he's picked up on. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Prophecy. And then after the 70 years of captivity are over, God will punish the Babylonian kings. And then later on in Jeremiah, it says, the truth is that you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I've promised, and I will bring you home again. I'll repeat that. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I've promised, and I will bring you home again. Okay? Massive mountain to that people. Captivity. But there's a promise. And Daniel realizes it's been about 67 years. He's like, oh my goodness, captivity's coming to an end. Now, if that was me, I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be dancing in the streets. I'd be like, woohoo! Wouldn't you? Wouldn't be all we throwing parties? You know, drinking and celebrating and having a good time? What does Daniel do? So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed his sins, the sin of the nations and everything. And you know, he just pours out this stuff about his nation, about how they've rejected God and turned away and da-di-da-di-da. You know, he's saying, for your sake, O Lord, look with favor. You know, look how your name has been kind of mocked because of your people. It's all about you. You're the God that we want to worship. We want glory to your name. So I'm going to pray this into being. I'm going to pray the your prophecy into being. Well, surely God's prophecies are coming into being anyway. Surely God was going to save Daniel anyway. Esther, Mordecai says to Esther, he says, don't be deceived. If you don't stand up, if you don't say anything, someone else will come and save our nation and you'll die. Now, I don't know if that was physical, but I think spiritual is huge. If you don't stand up, God's will would be done. His people would be saved through someone else, but you would die spiritually. You'd be gone spiritually. But surely if there's prophecy, then God's word, you know, is going to come to being. There is two things, and this is what Paul was saying last week. There are two parts. There is what God wants to happen, what he's decreed to happen, and there's us calling it into being. Do you see that? I'm going to stop because I've been way too long. Calvin said, nothing therefore can be better for us than to ask for what he has promised. Nothing can be better for us than to ask for what he has promised. You know, Daniel set his face. He was determined. He set his face. He made requests, petitions, prayers, fasted, worshipped with sackcloth and ashes. Spurgeon says, we ask but little and God gives it. We need to ask but massive and see God give it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I'm going to hand over to Paul. And sorry, the worship, I don't know where we go. So, Paul.